Welcome, everyone. This is Vertical Live Radio, and I'm happy that everyone could be with us today. And today, we are interviewing life coach and now author, Renee Suzanne. She's back on our program. Renee is a guest columnist on Vertical Life magazine. She's seen on Huffington Post, Glamour, and her blog, Renee Suzanne Coaching. So we're happy to have her on here because her book is launching like the 10th. And so we want to hear a little bit about her book. The book is called Beloved, How to Go from Relationship Challenged to Relationship Ready. And just to give you a little bit of what was in the introduction, you won't find games or dating tips or magic formulas in this book. It's a real guide for creating the relationships you want from scratch. So she says there's nothing wrong with you. You just need to take an honest look at what's keeping you single. I love that. So we're going to bring Renee in. Renee, I'm happy to have you on the program again. And how are you?
Thank you so much, Celeste. I am just thrilled to be here.
Great. So I love your book.
Thank you.
And I don't want to give anything away in this interview. So, I've limited my questions because I want everyone to get the full benefit of this book. So I just want to, just talk some of the higher points. So first, tell me why you wrote this book, because you've done a lot lately with your blog site and with your website. Now you're even helping people with their profiles on dating sites. Am I correct?
Yes.
So, ladies and men out there, here's an expert here. So if you need help with that, you're gonna have to contact Renee, and we'll give you all that information at the end of the program. So, I just want you to tell me, what made you write this book?
Well, I have just seen so many women, and myself included, struggle in the area of love and relationships. And it's interesting to me because women have come so far in the area of finances. We're now getting our education. We get college degrees, advanced degrees. We're learning to really break the glass ceiling in the workplace, and we've still got a little ways to go there, but we're getting there. And then in the area of love and relationships, it seems to me that we just kind of fall apart and don't really create what we want in this area of our lives as women. We just kind of hope that the guy will do it, or the universe will give it to us, or that some sort of magic will happen, and that this part of life should just come together all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, then something is terribly wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to debunk that myth. That's my mission.
What I loved about this too is that you really talked about not settling, and you talked about, it's really not about you. and I love that, because I used to say that not enough information was out there for single people looking for love. There's a lot of information for married couples and what you do when you're married and what you're not supposed to do. But one of the things I read in your book was you said that you actually described what settling for men looked like. And you talked about, men that don't treat you well, nights that you're, pining away. Some men seem interesting, but you rather spend your time with your girlfriends and families. So it was just interesting that you said that, because I'm sure I can relate that to a lot of my friends that I do know. So, kind of like, ooh, she really hit that. So give me some information about that. When you say settling, do you think a lot of people just settle instead of really thinking that they deserve something better?
Well, I think that settling people say they don't want to settle when they are holding out for some kind of myth, you know, like some guy on a white horse that's going to, you know, make six figures and have his own jet. I mean, I'm taking it a little far there. But what I'm talking about is settling for a relationship that is not satisfactory. And we're always doing that in the name of not settling, because you don't want to date some guy who's just ordinary. You want the really, a lot of women just, they want that impressive guy. They want that resume. They want somebody who dresses sharp. But Mr. Man About Town with the Gucci suit is seeing other women, and he's not treating her right, and she's like, well, I'm not going to settle for somebody ordinary. Guess what? You are settling. You're settling for an abysmal relationship with a man who's not treating you well. That's settling.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That really hits it. But also, too, Renee, you had, you can honestly say that you have been through a lot of what you're telling other women. You also call yourself a master at reinvention, you know, working up from poverty to, you know, to the university to, you know, finding dates for, you know, women. So you've had, you know, you not only have you, it's not like you are just a businesswoman and you're dating right now. You've had instances throughout your lifetime, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I was a single mother of four children on food stamps. I've had my dating challenges. You know, try being a single mom and going out with somebody and telling him you have four kids. That's a dating challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have been there, and I'm not preaching from an ivory tower. I've been in these trenches, and I've got your back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, what would you say is, you know, when you're, is there a difference to the type of men that you probably look at when you're in different phases of your life, or is it pretty much what you, whatever you put in your mindset, you know, from the beginning, I'll say, you know, from when you were a kid or something that struck you when you were in school, is that how you formulate who you think you might want to date?
Well, that's kind of where the reinvention part comes in, because we grow
mm-hmm.
up and
mm-hmm.
sort of bump along through life, and our expectations, I think, need to up-level from the settling for whatever kind of treatment to the I deserve to have a great relationship, to really owning that dream. You have to believe
mm-hmm.
that it's possible, and that
mm-hmm.
is where the reinvention comes in, where you start saying, I do deserve to have a great life. I do want real love. I do want a great relationship. I want to have someone in my life who adores me and wake up next to him every morning, not pine away wondering what he's doing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that I think is part of an evolution through life, in knowing what you're worth, and
mm-hmm.
that kind of comes with everything. With the, for me, it was a journey out of poverty and getting that degree and doing better in life and understanding my own worth. And I think that can be part of anyone's journey. We all have challenges that we
right.
overcome in life, and we're all here learning and growing throughout our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like you should always be up to something. You should always have a dream that you're reaching for. And if you're single and you want a wonderful love in your life, then up-leveling always. And yes, it does come down to life circumstances. Like if you're
mm-hmm.
if you just graduated from college, maybe you do want to have fun and you don't want to date someone who just got divorced and has little kids at home. Or maybe if you are a single mom, maybe you don't want to date Mr. Man About Town who's always going to, you know, concerts or whatever. So, yes, it's a lifestyle thing, but number one priority should always be, how are you going to feel in this relationship? You want to feel safe. You want to feel
mm-hmm.
like this person has your back. You want to feel like you can count on this person who's in your life to really love you and want to know you and be there with you. And that transcends the, you know, the lifestyle thing. Although lifestyle can be important, and life stage is definitely important, but that solid bedrock relationship, how do I feel in this relationship, that's got to be number
right.
one.
Okay. Now, would you say, you know, you said in here self-love is more than bubble baths and manicures. And
yeah.
You said self-love is standing up for yourself. And I like that, because a lot of times, you know, you're very straight to the point when you say it. And a lot of times people are like, oh, you know, you got to do this for yourself and you got to do that for yourself. Well, what if you don't want to do any of that? You know, what is just, you just, you know, you're that person that's kind of no nonsense. And so, you know, what is real self-love? And you said self-love is standing up for yourself and establishing boundaries and keeping them. Give me an example of establishing a boundary for yourself when you're starting to date again.
I'm so glad you asked that question. Yeah, because it's easy to think self-love, oh, I'll go get a manicure, and then you go out on a date with someone and let him run all over you and don't tell him what kind of relationship you want. Well, you got those pretty nails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
when I was struggling in my dating life, and I just had gone through one more heartbreak and it just seemed like it was just not going well, I bought myself a ring. I have this story on my website. I bought myself a ring and I put it on my finger and I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, Renee, I promise you that I've got your back. We're figuring this relationship thing out. We're going full steam ahead. I'm not resting until we get this right. You're having great love in your life. And you know what? I wear that ring every day and I look at it. And when I've had to have some chats with some people that I was seeing about the kind of relationship I wanted, a lot of times I wanted to chicken out. And I looked down at that ring on my finger and I said, I promised myself that I was going to stand for what I wanted in life. And that is,
I love that.
Manicures and bubble baths and a new outfit. And it doesn't even cost anything. You can be the biggest tomboy in the world and never even paint your nails and never wear makeup or anything. But if you've got the wherewithal to stand for what you want and tell people what kind of life you want to live, that's self-love.
I love what you said about the ring, and that's very true. I love that. In chapter 4, you talk about you're not broken, and I do like that, because you're kind of saying here is that, you know, everybody deserves to have this love in their life, and you're not broken. So, you know, you don't have to believe the hype that because you're not like everybody else that you just don't, you know, you're not going to find anyone. Tell me a little bit more about that, because I do like that you talk about the disappointments and people face, you know, disappointments. Tell me a little bit about what that chapter meant for you to write it for people.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times people get really caught up in their brokenness and their healing and their all of that, and that just gets so myopic, you know. Yes, sometimes we go through things in life and we do need to process them, but to just spend years and years on your brokenness and your healing and your fixing and just processing things over and over again, that's nowhere near as fun as living your life and going for what you want.
Right.
Just gaze at some wound that was inflicted on you long ago and blame everything in your life that you don't like on it, and to just continue on and focusing on that straight up isn't going to give you the life you want. You're totally welcome to do that, and if that makes you happy, you have my blessing. But what I'm trying to encourage people to do is, hey, let's get you living the life you want to live. Let's get you going for your dream. If you can everybody has something that they could do something with this, rich or poor or whatever way you grew up in. Some people have had more going on than others, but
Right. Anybody
could go down that rabbit hole. And what I'm trying to say is there's nothing there that you want.
Okay.
Go for what you want. How many years do you have on this planet? You want to spend them going around processing your childhood, or do you want to rock your life?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, do you believe that we have a soulmate, or do you believe that we have the one? Is that our focus, or should our focus be deeper when we're looking at, you know, this person we could meet and we have that nice feeling? And, you know, I wonder if some people last through some of the challenges of relationships. Do you think we can meet a soulmate, or that a soulmate actually is made?
I believe that the soulmate, and believing that there is only one person out there for you, and if you don't find them, you're just done for, it has caused more misery than just untold amounts of misery. You can go out and find a wonderful person that you can have a great love with.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I refer to someone as the one, I mean like the one for you right now. There could be several ones, but when you mm-hmm. commit to someone, then you're saying they're the one. So you make them the one.
Right. Okay. And do you think, I love what you said about some people get addicted to the in love feeling. What is the in love feeling?
I think the in love feeling is like that. I don't want to ruin everybody's joy, but it's brain chemistry. You read about dopamine and oxytocin and all this stuff, and you can just go and date someone for even just a couple weeks and have these feelings, all the stuff rushing around your bloodstream, mm-hmm. and you don't even know this person. That is not true love. You can that can turn into true love, but what makes the true love is the day by day, the getting to know the person, sharing things with them besides physical things, telling him things. He tells you things. You know, day by day, that you're really there for each other. That sort of thing is built over time, and it is not a feeling so much as it is a decision and a commitment and a relationship that is built.
Okay. So do you think you also say that, you know, we get caught up in, you say that most books offer short-term tips when it comes to dating and love. But I will say, When I read your blog, or I'm reading this book that I read, I have the feeling that you're also promoting, you know, long healthy love relationships. That you're not trying to say that you know if you want that short term dating, that's a little bit different than looking for someone for long term. I notice going on dating sites, you'll see some people are very specific, and some people are, it's kind of interesting. Some people, when they write and I'm reading the profile, I'm like, okay, well, you say this, but it doesn't really seem like you're looking for a long-term relationship. How do you decipher that when you're, you know, when you're dating or looking for someone? Does that actually start with you? And what you want?
Starts with you. Yeah, I think everything starts with you. That's my rallying cry on everything in life. I think it goes even beyond dating, but we're talking about love right now. It does all start with you and what you are willing to stand for and believe in. Mm-hmm. And when you say you want something in your life and you kind of put your stake in the ground and you say, this is what I want, this is what I'm going for, and you make decisions that line up with your end goal, you definitely increase your likelihood of of getting there. And in that way, love is almost inevitable when you really back your dream with your action, with your decisions. So what that would look like is, and you know what, dating tips, I'm not totally knocking dating tips because they can be useful in the short term. Like,
right.
But self-respect and having it start with you will help in those ways when you, first of all, dating tips sometimes contradict each other, but a lot of them are essentially what a self-respecting person would do anyway. So when you read some dating tip that says, don't chase him, don't call him, don't Facebook him constantly, don't do drive-bys in his house, you know, in lingerie and stuff like that, those are dating tips, sure. But, you know, you wouldn't even worry about that if you respected yourself. You're not going to be doing those things. So, yes, it does start with you. You're not going to make decisions like calling him 20 times a day if you're coming from a place of, I got this, I respect myself, I'm going for my dream. If this guy's not calling me, you know, maybe he's not looking for the same thing as me, I'm going to find someone who is. You'll make decisions that are consistent with what you are wanting.
When you said, you know, men are, I know men are very different from women when they're looking for dating or long-term relationships. What would you say, I was reading in here, do you have to be the hottest woman on the planet to meet the guy of your dreams? Or is that what men look at? Or do men look at something different than just looks?
Well, yeah. I mean, men, obviously you want to be as attractive as you can. You want to take good care of yourself. Men are visual. That said, you don't have to look any further than the tabloids and all those beautiful, young, wealthy, successful, talented women who have all this drama in their love lives, right? I mean, I don't know. A lot of people aren't as hot as Kim Kardashian or Jennifer Aniston, but those ladies don't have it much better than your average girl as far as the drama and the stuff going on in their love and dating and relationships, because in the end, it's not about that. So, yes, you should be as physically appealing as you can, and that's for your own self. You're going to feel better when you know you've got it going on and you look good and you've been eating right and taking good care of yourself, but you do not have to be a hot 21-year-old running around in spandex all the time to get and keep a wonderful relationship.
Right. Well, I do agree with you there that the women that we see, the celebrities that we see versus those of us who are not celebrities, that there's really not much difference between us except for they probably have the money to do a few more things than we can do. But definitely you're right. They come with the same drama. They have the same issue when it comes to what eyeshadow do I want to get today. they have that same thought that we do there. So I think one of the things you touched on that I thought was very big is that, you know, men do not like to be manipulated. They like you to just be, you know, just be yourself. They make their own decision. So that's why I believe like you do that, you know, work on you. Just work on you. So you said in chapter 7 that you said, have you ever tried to put makeup on without a mirror? It's pretty much impossible. You can't see your face without a mirror, but it doesn't mean you're wrong or incompetent. So are you saying here that, you know, we kind of limit ourselves more than we think we do?
I think that a lot of times it's just hard to see yourself. This is where it really helps to have a coach or a good friend or some kind of someone who has your back that can say to you, you might want to look at this, or consider what it is, somebody who's going to call you out on something. Like if you say, I really want love in my life, and you go on vacation with your girlfriends all the time and hang out with your nieces and nephews and refuse to go online or set up a profile or even go to a party and meet anyone, you need somebody who's going to say, look, you're not, I'm tired of hearing you whine that you want love and sit yourself at home on your couch. You know, you need someone who's going to see where you're getting in your own way. And that could look like working with a coach or telling one of your friends, I want this. Are you, you know, are you seeing how I'm getting in my own way? That, you know, your and your friend may or may not, depending on the relationship, pull some punches with you. I mean, this is your friend, so they're not going to be, you know, depending on how that is. But you're not going to see where you're getting in your own way, most likely, or you wouldn't have this challenge right now. You'd already have love in your life, and you wouldn't be reading this book, probably.
What would you say when it comes to women in business, Renee, what would you say probably one of the biggest obstacles for them to get over when it comes to them, you know, comes to their relationship challenge and being ready to, you know, go into a dating scene? Do you think, what are your thoughts about what the issue is with women in business?
Well, I think business women, first of all, are busy. I that's probably not just limited to business women. Women are busy. Women are mothers. Women are daughters. Women, even in our day and age, there is we do have the brunt of the caretaking and domestic responsibilities, and many of us are mothers or caring for others, such as aging parents. And let's face it, we do work. We do have our careers. We've got a lot of responsibilities, and women tend to put themselves last and put others first. So women are busy, and they're pressed for time, and we often have trouble prioritizing our own needs. So we sort of dry ourselves up, and at the end of the day, they're like, I don't have time to go on a dating site and log in and look at I don't have time to write a profile. I don't have time to get to the gym. And so what I'm saying is prioritize and have the self-discipline to go for what you say you want in life. And if you want love, if your heart is just longing for a loving relationship, I don't want you missing out. Please prioritize this.
So put yourself on your calendar.
Yes, because business women especially are so organized. They've got a lot on their plates, and yes, put yourself on your calendar. I love that.
I mean, that is totally, you know, I just said that, but that is totally what I did this year. I have put myself on my calendar even taking 2 hours off and just going out, or even just, you know, have a date with myself or have a date with my girlfriends, or even, you know, I give myself more time on my calendar to do just the regular stuff, because you do get caught up. I mean, I don't even know. Last year, I can't even tell you how many days a month that I had that was just totally me being able to veg out or being able to just, you know, binge watch TV or go out and meet with friends. So this year, I've definitely made that a priority as far as going out, as far as, you know, even calling my girlfriends to just say, you know, no work today. So definitely I do get that. I do get that. And that was one of the ways, in fact, me and a couple of other women that have, very busy lives, we said, you know, we just have to put ourselves on that calendar, and we have to keep that calendar. And I'm practicing, you know, we're practicing to not talk about business on those days. it gets hard, but at least, you know, it's kind of like you said, at least, you know, you got a friend with you and you say no business talk at all, you know, which is, you know, a little challenge. But we also talk about, and this is why this conversation we're having is good, we talk about what that, you know, what that man in our life looks like. I'm coming from my fiance passing away, and I have some friends whose, you know, husbands are gone, and, you know, we do want to have that great relationship in our life, but it's kind of like, you get so caught up, and we're like, okay, yeah, we realize we have to do this. We have to come from, like you say, relationship challenge to relationship ready. So this conversation is coming at a good time. I'm going to make sure they get a copy of this.
Oh, fantastic. That is great. That is great. I'm so glad.
Well, in this, you know, in the other one, when you said deciding what you want, you also talked about, you know, it's more than a list of qualities or, you know, it's really about do you feel happy and safe. So can you tell me a little bit about that line there? I don't want to tell a lot about the book, but I want to talk about, you know, what does that really mean? What are the qualities that you're looking for? And that person, how do you find that out without being having more expectations or just kind of unreasonable?
Yeah, absolutely. First, you do have to know what you want, and most people who are interested in reading the stuff I write are interested in a long-term committed relationship, and in order for that to happen, you have to have priorities, and
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of talk going around about not settling, and you should be able to get everything you want, and I think that keeps a lot of people alone because, you know, if you think about how we do everything else, we're interested in lots of things, but we have to pick a career, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might be interested in astrophysics and biology and you know, the theater, but you have to pick one career. You're not going to get everything at one time. We all know that's not realistic. So we pick
mm-hmm.
a career and we get on with it and we focus and we prioritize and we dedicate our 40 hours a week or whatever to that career, to pursuing that endeavor. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying that you need to do in relationships, because this whole having it all thing, and you've got this long list with 100 qualities, and you have to be over 6 feet tall, even though you're only 5'2", and he has to make, you know, $500,000 a year or whatever. Those things, are they really your priority? And I'm not saying you shouldn't want them or you're wrong. What I am saying is you've got to prioritize, because having, you know, this big list and saying, well, I deserve to have it all, it very well could be keeping you alone. And if what you
mm-hmm.
want, if what you want is a committed, loving relationship in which you feel seen and heard and valued and cherished, then
mm-hmm.
you've
okay.
got some priorities. You've
mm-hmm.
got some priorities, and they're not going to be about how tall he is, right? You can see
right.
the line of thought, and where I'm going with this is you're going to have to say something like, you know, this kind of relationship is really important to me, so I, you know, it'd be great if you were tall and, you know, read Shakespeare or whatever, but your
mm-hmm.
priority
uh-huh.
is that he value you, that he have time to date you, that he
uh-huh.
sets aside time to call you, that he asks about your day, that you feel loved, that you feel
right.
safe, that
mm-hmm.
he's not working 70 hours a week and with his kids every whatever, or his girlfriend or whatever, you know, I mean, is this guy available?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you get into the dating chapter, you say, I implore you to give online dating a shot. I already know what her opinion is on this because me and Renee have talked before. But Renee, I would, you know, I'd ask you to kind of talk on this a little bit. You say 1 in 3 marriages now begins as a result of online introduction. I remember a time when, you know, online dating was fairly new. I think one of the bigger ones at the time was eHarmony. And but a lot of people hadn't caught on. So it's amazing to see now that it is, you know, and I mean, we see this every day. We see it on Facebook. We see it, you know, on our lives and on TV, that more and more individuals are meeting online. So can you speak on that a little bit? You said you recommend some sites. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. I still, even in this day and age, I run into a lot of women who are very, very, very resistant to the idea of online dating. And I just say you can't afford, if you're serious about finding love in your life, you can't afford to ignore online dating, because statistically, and I am a numbers girl, I majored in finance, took plenty of math, statistically, online dating is your best shot. And I would not be any kind of love coach if I let you get away with not online dating. If you're talking to me, I'm telling you mm-hmm. as somebody who wants you to have love, that you have mm-hmm. got to do this. It's mm-hmm. your best shot, numbers-wise. You're going to meet the most people in the least amount of time for the least expense. There simply is no better way. That said, you should also be, I recommend three things. Get yourself online and do it right. If you're not getting the results you want, do some research. Talk to me. I'm a great resource for this. Read my blog. I've got plenty of YouTube videos as well, because if you're not getting the results you want online, it's not because of the medium. It's because you're not doing it in a way that is netting you the results you want. So online mm-hmm. dating is the way to go. That said, and I know I'm beating this to death, try to go to a social event at least once a week. Mm-hmm. You'll still probably meet more people online, but, you know, it helps to exercise your friendliness muscle. It helps to open you up. So go to at least one social event a week and act mm-hmm. like the mayor of the universe. Just kind of mm-hmm. be there and be friendly. And even if you're shy, challenge yourself to speak with at least one person. Don't drag all your girlfriends with you and chat with them and then go home complaining that no man came up to you. You go by yourself and you work that room. And mm-hmm. the third thing I recommend is to be friendly in your everyday life. Smile at people. Put mm-hmm. your phone down when you're out in public and just practice. You don't have to just talk to guys that you would like to date. Talk to little kids or old people or the barista at Starbucks, or just practice that. Work up to the guys you think you might want to talk to, but just be friendly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love what you said. Don't take your girlfriends and end up talking to them all day.
It's not going to help.
You're right about that. You are so right about that. Well, I want to ask you also, you know, in here, as you know, as we get to the last chapter, because then I want you to give everyone some information on how to contact you, you know, because, hey, you need to meet a coach. Renee's the person you need.
Yes, you do.
And read her blog. We're going to be really promoting this here. So you put here, the universe has your back. What did you mean by the universe has your back?
I mean that at the end of the day, we're all here on this planet, and we are all living, breathing miracles. The whole thing mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about it, we're on this little orb on the edge mm-hmm. of a galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing air and loving each other, and just, you know, I just had a little baby grandson, and I just look at him, and I mean, just the miracle of us all being here. So at the end of the day, when you think that, you know, this is a lot of work, okay, I'm not going to lie, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
a lot of us are, you know, discouraged that it hasn't just happened. Mm-hmm. We think that it ought to just materialize. And I'm telling you, you've got to roll up your sleeves and do a whole bunch of stuff, right? I'm telling you in this book, you've got some stuff to do. So I wanted mm-hmm. to wrap it up at the end by saying, yes, you need to do this. Yes, you've got some things to figure out and work on. But in the end, when you take these steps, when you show that you mean business and you start working toward your goal, things will line up for you.
Mm-hmm.
They will. You'll know the next step when you need to. You don't need to see everything. You don't need to see how it's all going to work out right now. But if you will just have some faith and take the first step and just know that after that, you'll know the next step to take. And when you take that, you'll know what comes after it. So have some faith in the process, in the deity of your understanding, in the universe, in whatever it is, in the goodness of life. And know that, you know, this is good for everybody. You're not just finding love just for yourself. It's not like you're just doing this selfish thing because you don't care about anybody. You're helping the person that you're going to find. You're helping the your friends and family who want you to be happy. You're giving the world one more example of, yes, this is possible. Yes, love is possible, and we want to believe. We want to believe that this is possible. We do. And when you find it, when you have some faith, when you say, I'm going for it, when you trust, you have to trust and work, not just trust. But when you do... Yeah, when you do, you know, you're doing something great for the world, and life will support you in your endeavor.
Okay. Well, Renee, how can people first, let's talk about the book, because I really want the book to get in as many hands as possible. Okay, tell us about the book and where we can get the book. The book launch is going to be on the 10th. Are you going to be anywhere to launch the book as well?
The book launch is on the 10th. It is going to be available on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon and type in Beloved, How to Go from Relationship Challenged to Relationship Ready, you will see a link, and you will be able to purchase the book. It will be free for the first 3 days of the launch. So that's April 10th, 11th, and 12th. You'll be able to get it for free on Amazon. So it's available on Amazon.
Okay. And I will make sure everyone out there that you'll have the link to that, to where you can purchase the book. So you'll be able to purchase the book, or, well, actually, like she said, in 3 days, you'll be able to download that book. So want to try to get as many people to get that book in your hand. And then, Renee, how can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you more questions and talk about, you know, and read your blog? How can they get in touch with you?
Great. Yes, you can get in touch with me at ReneeSuzanneCoaching.com.
Okay. So, everybody, make sure you get that down. And we're going to have all those links up for you. So you won't, you know, you will not miss out with Renee. You definitely want to be reading her blog. You definitely want to take some of those suggestions into the book. I didn't want to give the book away. It's really a great book. I had a chance to read the whole book. And, yes, I am going to be incorporating some of these things in my own life. So definitely I'll want to share some of that with you all soon. But so we appreciate you, Renee, for even doing this. There's not many love coaches out there that have really put in the effort that you put in to really help individuals, and you're just so plain spoken, which I like, which is easy to decipher and all that. So give us one tip, Renee, and I want you to hold on after I close the show, Renee, but give us one tip. Or a couple of tips of what you think that, you know, whether it's how we should dress or how we should act, but give us a tip on when we go out there on that first date.
First date tip. My favorite first date tip, and you're right, I'm plain spoken. I'm from the Midwest. I'm a Chicago girl, and I am your straight talking Midwestern love coach girl because I want you to have love and I don't want to waste your time. So here it is.
Okay.
you're on that first date, hopefully you've vetted him and you can see that he has a reasonable chance of wanting the same things you do. I hope you've talked to him on the phone at least once. That said, you're on that first date. Somewhere in that first date, maybe about midway through, you want to find out what he believes about the relationship you want to have. So if you, let's say you want to get married and have children, you say, do you believe in marriage and family? Or, gee, I know you've been divorced. Do you still believe in the dream? Something to get him talking. And you say believe, not want, not do you want to marry me or my biological clock is ticking and I've frozen my eggs. You don't want to scare the man out of the restaurant, but you want to find
all
out
right.
what page he's on relationship-wise, and you do that by asking what he believes or what's going on, or do you still believe in the dream? Something to
right.
weave out. That's going to do two things. It's going to let him know that you're serious about creating something. You're not mindlessly flirting with him and just kind of seeing where he takes things. He's going to know that you are up to something, which is good. And it's going to give you some very much needed information. You need this information. If he says, I never want to get married again, I'm just looking to have fun right now, dude doesn't get a second date unless you want to waste your time and break your heart, and then you need to call me.
If
he says, I'm not looking for a relationship right now, there is no date number two. He's not changing his mind. So ask the question, please, please. I beg of you. And that is my first date tip.
Okay, great, great. All right, Renee. And let me ask you this, because I get this from a lot of my girlfriends, and a lot of them are over the age of 45. Do you think that there's anything different in how we should maintain ourselves or act on a date that's different from, you know, anybody in their 20s and 30s dating, or pretty much are the rules pretty much the same?
I tend to be all about the basics, and I think you need to start with knowing what you want and love and respect and honor yourself.
Okay.
And I think that goes for everyone, regardless of faith or gender or pretty much anything. You know, that said, I do tend to work with women in that age group, and you know, there are definitely, you know, the ins and outs of that. But if you start from a place of knowing what you want and really being willing to go to the wall for it, you've got to have the wherewithal to stand for what you want, and that goes for any woman in any age group. And if anything, I think that the women who are over 40 have more wherewithal to actually stand for this, because, you know, we've seen some things in life. We've got some some miles in, and I think we're kind of tired of just seeing what happens. It hasn't worked for us. And if anything, the women in their 40s and 50s and up have a better shot at knowing what they want and really having the intestinal fortitude to stand their ground, which is what is required to have a good, healthy relationship. So I think we have advantages that younger people haven't necessarily cultivated yet. They certainly can, and I'd like to see it.
Okay, great, fantastic. Well, Renee, again, thank you so much for coming on Vertical Live Radio. Thank you for sharing your book with us. Definitely, you know, I'm going to be promoting Renee's book. I'll be promoting the links for you to go to, especially for all my ladies. We'll be promoting this in the next week. So definitely, Renee, thank you again for, you know, for sharing this with us. Thank you for being part of a guest columnist with Vertical Life. I think love is important, because I think it's one of the basic needs that we, even people that say to me, oh, you know, I'm okay alone. I'm like, no, you're not. You know, we're relational beings. And I think that, you know, your book comes at a really great time. There's some really great things, everybody, in here as far as looking at yourself and being, you know, being honest with yourself and actually, you know, taking care of yourself and allowing yourself to have time and have love. Thank you again, Renee. We so appreciate you, and I'm wishing you a lot of success in this book and the ones to come.
Oh, thank you so much, Celeste. It was just an honor to be here, and thank you again. Thank you again for having me.
Okay. And everyone, thank you, all our supporters and listeners to Vertical Live Radio. We appreciate you. And again, this was Renee Suzanne. She is a love coach, and she helps you upgrade your love life. Good night, everyone. Good night, Renee.
Good night, Celeste. Good night, everyone.